So we're continuing on in the book Tall Law by Steve Carrington and talking about the principles of biblical behavior modification. So we're on the third section, which talks about the exchange life and really how to practically find transformation. And so, as promised, we're going to be focusing on these next several messages on how the idea of using the Bible to discern the trigger position of our heart, whether it is being under soul control or under Holy Spirit control. And so, we're going to look at the idea of reading our Bible informational. Okay? And so, in this, we want to identify the steps needed to successfully read our Bible, which in turn will strengthen our knowledge of God, and we as well want to walk through how to turn a Spirit-led prompting from our Bible reading into an applied truth in the midst of a difficult circumstance in our daily lives. And so, alright, and we see this is a prayer of Paul in Ephesians 1:17. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And so that's what God wants for us. And so, we want to understand is that we want to have God's Word help us determine the trigger position of our heart. And we want to learn how to dwell on Christ rather than on the things of the world. And so, we want to ask, how does reading the Bible help us dwell on Christ in our hearts? And it does help us with that, but how? And so we want to understand that. And so we want to understand that it is a part of that whole process, but it is only a small part. You might describe it really as a first step. And so we want to understand that reading God's Bible, if we have this idea, okay, well, I have a certain amount of chapters I need to read for the day, I'm going to read this many chapters, and then I'm going to put my Bible away and go on with my life, you're kind of missing out on having it lead and guide you and benefit you as it should. And so the thing is after you've read, you then have to follow certain steps as well that we'll look at later. And so, we understand that this isn't where you want to just say, well, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, because you do need to read your Bible. But it's something that we want to understand, because all of us, I think, have come to a point where we've read our Bible and we've kind of ticked off that box, because we know we should read our Bibles, but we haven't got anything out of it, and we just kind of wonder what was the point. And the thing is that often we can feel like little is being accomplished toward our personal relationship with God, and sometimes people tend to quit reading their Bible because they feel it is not sufficiently help them in their walk with God. And so it's kind of the thing is we want to understand that we know it's the words of life, and if it's not imparting life, we want to see, okay, what are we doing wrong? What are we missing? And so we want to examine that. And it's the thing is that a lot of times we know we should, but we find it's a struggle sometimes to keep reading. We commit to Bible reading schedules, but then usually we end up getting behind, and then we're reading, say, 10 chapters a day to try to catch up, and it's not really benefiting us. And so we want to really understand what's going on. And the thing is that Bible reading, the whole idea of it, it's not relational, it is informational. Okay? It increases our knowledge of God, and that's a good thing, but we want to realize we need much more. It's not just knowing about God, we want to know God. And that's part of the problem. There can be a great many people that study the Bible and are these great theologians, but they may not even have any relationship with God whatsoever. And so we want to not be like that. We want it to benefit us. And so we see that, yes, it doesn't increase your walk with God, it increases your knowledge of God. Alright, so everybody got that? Okay, so we want to understand what the Bible describes as a walk with God. And really, we want to understand it has very little to do with paging daily through God's Word. We want to understand that that's only a start, it's not an end. And so, reading the Bible is essentially a means to an end, not an end in itself. And so the phrase, walk with God, it's very similar actually in meaning to the word disciple. Because the word disciple literally means a student who follows a teacher. And that's what we're seeking to be. We're not just seeking to be readers of the Bible, we're seeking to be disciples of Christ. And so God, Jesus wants to use his word to teach us. And so we want to learn how he does that. And so we want to understand that this is the concept of what the Bible means when it says, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, as we see in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. That the lusts of the flesh are the desires of the soul to submit to the temptations of the body. And so Paul tells us if we walk after the influence of the Spirit of God, we will do what he wants rather than what we want. And that's what we're going for. And so it's been a basic truth throughout this whole discussion we've had on behavioral modification. So we want to understand that reading our Bible is necessary, it's important, but we also understand it's going to give us the steps that are going to take us, the steps to take that will lead us in the right paths. And we want to understand this doesn't always happen with every verse or chapter that we read each day, that sometimes we won't catch things. And they're especially true if we're performing through a Bible reading plan instead. And so this is kind of the thing that can happen a lot of times. And I think maybe this is maybe too familiar to each of us. But how many times have we been reading our Bible and all of a sudden we see something that we've never seen before? Right? And every Christian is going to experience this many times. And if we're rejecting and confessing sin, if we're reading our Bibles with some regularity, what that's going to happen is that there's something that sticks out and you wonder about it. And we want to understand what's happening in that situation. And what's happening, the Spirit of God is prompting you with scriptural revelation. And it, of course, it's not the devil that's pointing these things out. He'd rather have us read through it and not pick up anything, right? He'd probably try to do everything to distract us from picking anything out. But when something sticks out, we realize it's the Spirit of God within us communing with our spirit, say, I'm putting my finger on this for a reason. But the thing is, if we're performing, We can't stop reading when we see a truth. We say, okay, there's more Bible for me to read. I'm 3 days behind in my reading schedule. So I can't stop and examine this. And we want to understand that the Spirit-led prompting is what we referred to last lesson as intuition. And that occurs, of course, only if our conscience is right with God and void of offense. And it's God revealing his supernatural direction to our spirit through his spirit in our inner man. And so when we're reading the Bible, we want to understand the Spirit of God will actually prompt you to stop and consider something. And if you learn to obey that prompting and stop your reading, you're actually taking the first step in walking after the Spirit. That the Lord's wanting to lead you. He says, okay, this is what I want to lead you in today. And then as you stop, then the Spirit's going to begin to enlighten you as you take the next step with the Word, which we're going to discuss next chapter. And this Spirit-led enlightenment is God showing us something that we'll need to get through our tough day. And so obedience to this prompting will cause us to remain under the influence of Christ as we engage in our battle for the day. And so in this lesson, the next lessons that are going to follow, what's going to happen is we're going to go through essentially what is a Spirit-led prompting from the Bible, reading into an applied truth in the midst of a difficult circumstance in our daily life. And this is what leads to spiritual victory over the enemy's attacks. And so, we see that applying Spirit-led truths to real-time situations on the same day that God gives you the truth is the secret. Okay? If God wants to have a real-time relationship with us, He knows what we're going through, He wants to help us in the troubles we're facing. And the proof of a developing personal relationship with God is the actual stimulation of our inner man that it receives during our morning walk with God. And so again, the thought, applying Spirit-led truths to real-time situations on the same day God gives them, that truth is the secret. And so, our relationship with God is stimulated in the morning, in our morning walk with Him. And it begins with reading, but it must never stop there. And here's why. Because people often tell me, Steve, I struggle to read my Bible, I struggle to get alone with God, I have devotions, I struggle to have daily God and I time. And we want to understand it this way, that God's Word is like a road map, and He wants to direct our steps with it. We read in Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. And so the word way means a course of life. And so if we allow God to order our steps, then He will be delighted in the course of our lives. And so we want to think, well, how do we expect God to order our steps, to direct them? Is He going to talk to us through the television? Is He going to communicate it to us over the radio after we've hit the snooze button because we're too tired to meet with Him in the morning? No, He's going to direct us through the Holy Spirit that dwells within our inner man. And our inner man, and then communicate those steps to our outer man. And so our soul's submission to that communication gives direction to our body to follow these steps of the Lord. And so, it's thought that when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, His Holy Spirit took up residence within us. John 16:13 says that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. But He can't guide us in our course of life if we're not reading the road map. Our course of life is the way that we choose to live our life moment by moment. So these choices need to be made by following God's road map and His intuitive leading on a daily basis. And so we want to understand there are four distinct things that we need to do with God's Word on a daily basis. And we want to understand that reading God's Word is the first distinct thing that we need to do with God's Word on a daily basis. And the problem is that many of us, we stop there. It's like, okay, well, I should read my Bible. And so we do that, but that's not the end. That's just really the beginning. And Paul said, till I come, give attendance or pay attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And so he had to give attendance to reading. That's where it starts, but there's other things too, right? And so it's kind of the thing that when a school teacher takes attendance, he's accounting for each student's daily appointment to his class. And similarly, we should show up for a daily appointment in the Word. We want to understand that every time we have time with God, class is in session. He is the master, we are the students, we are learning from Him. And we want to be there for class. Okay? The Holy Spirit is there ready to give us direction through God's Word. And that's the thing, there's a lot of times a misconception that it just sort of, it's almost this magical thing that happens, that we just read the Bible and just simply reading it is just going to suddenly and magically develop this super Christianity. We're going to have this growing relationship with God that's going to lead to great prosperity in our lives and blessing. And we want to understand, nor in the Scripture do we see God promise to prosper Bible reading Christians. Okay? And that's not how it's written. You don't find that in Joshua 1:8 or in Psalm 1:3. God's promise of prosperity is not on the idea of just reading the Bible. Instead, it is on meditating on the Bible. And so, we want to approach reading the Bible as our means that leads us to meditation. And reading without daily meditation is not a waste of time, but it's not going to get us to a point where we're developing a closer relationship with God unless we take those next steps. And that's the thing. It's not realistic to expect to start reading and really find ourselves in a position where we might maintain a spirit of meditation on what we've just read. There's a method that needs to be followed in order to develop that spirit of meditation. And so, of course, with RU, one of the things that they've worked to develop to help with this is, of course, the It's Personal Daily Journal. And that's what really helps us, because it helps us start to lay these things out of how we can develop this method towards meditation. And so, it's a thought that we have to be committed to reading our Bible. That's where it begins. And it's not reading our Bible on purpose, it's reading our Bible with purpose. It's not merely the reading that's going to help us grow, but it's as we apply what we have read. And so there's a big difference between acquiring information and development of a personal relationship with God. And sometimes the devil uses our desire for information to actually hinder our walk with God. And so we want to be wise with that. The Bible is information of God, but it's also quick, meaning alive, and it's powerful. And that also applies to the Spirit who lives within our inner man. And so the Bible could do for us the same things the Holy Spirit can do for you. Okay? And so we want to really understand that so often what happens in the Christian life is we pack ourselves full of information. And we're full of knowledge. And what does it say about knowledge? Knowledge puffeth up. Charity edifieth, right? And you can actually find that it's amazing in history. You have different people that are supposedly held up as titans of the faith, but then you find out where you study their lives and they're writing all these nasty polemics where they're calling upon murder of heretics and anybody that doesn't agree with their belief system. And it's just like, okay, that's not the way of Jesus. There's something totally wrong with that we see something is missing. And you think of that with the scribes and the Pharisees. They spent all their lives studying the scriptures. They knew it and they knew how to interpret it and how to apply it as they thought. And have their different laws that they made up. But when the Messiah came, of anyone, they should have been the ones to recognize him and accept him with open arms. But instead, what was the problem? They were self-righteous. And they're the ones that hated Jesus and wanted to kill him at any chance they got. And so we want to realize that we need more than just information. We need that personal relationship with God. And sometimes just stuffing ourselves with information actually drives us away from God. So we want to be very careful with that. And so we want to understand that the Holy Spirit wants to use God's Word to speak to us. And it's the idea is that God's Word can help us and it can really communicate God's direction for our soul. And that's going to happen through the portal of our inner man. And so reading the Bible by itself does not develop a personal relationship with God. And it is powerful information that gains life, but reading the Bible fulfills God's purpose to acquire information about Him. And so what we do with the information that God provides us, that's going to determine what God will be able to do through us. And so what should happen is the daily acquisition of information about God should be the fuel that our personal relationship with God will burn throughout the remainder of the day. And so that's the thing, is that it's not the end in itself, it is a means to the end. It's providing us with what we need so that our relationship can be fed and burn brightly. Okay? And so for this fuel to be of use to us, we must take the investment to acquire it. And that investment is the time we spend reading the Bible. And so it's kind of the thing, you could almost think of it this way, that this is sometimes how we can be, is where we go out into the forest and we gather a whole bunch of firewood and we get stack after stack after stack of firewood cut and split, and it's almost we want to impress everybody with the big stack of firewood that we've gathered. But then we want to keep impressing them with how much we have. We don't actually use any of it. And we're freezing to death in our house. But we're still, oh, look at this big stack that I have. And we're totally missing the point of the Christian life. Everything that we have there, we're not doing it just to show off. We're doing it to burn. It's fuel to warm us on from the inside out. And so that's the thing, is that we're not accumulated just to show off, just so we can beat everybody at a Bible trivia game. It's we got to use it. This is life for us. And everything we get, that we want to put it to use. And it's the thing, is that it's not like, it's almost like we're afraid, well, I need to like ration it because I might run out or something like that, where it's like God can give us new fresh stuff every day. There's never going to be a time where we run out of fuel from God's word. Every time we read a passage of scripture, God can bring something new out of it. And so we want to get as much out of it as we can, and then we want to put that into use as quickly as possible. And so it's the idea, is that as we read, we need to look for principles, truths, stories, and series of events that the Lord can use to speak to us. And so when God reveals something to us, that's our bonanza. It may be something that we've seen before, but it catches our attention once again. Or it could be something we've never seen before. And there's always just different things that come out as you look at it. And some things you just look at, and I know there were some today, this morning, where it talked about in 1 Peter about speaking of women, that of their adorning not being of plaited hair, gold, or costly array, or whatever. But it was interesting, the word adorning in the Greek is actually cosmos, which we would use to be like the world and the universe. And so, and that's the only place in the Bible that word is translated as adorning. And so I've been trying to figure out what that actually means. I have no idea what it means, but that's kind of the Lord's kind of drawing my attention to it for reason, and hopefully as I meditate on it, maybe he'll help me understand why that's the way it is. But there's things like that, and so when God gives that to you, you want to make the most of that. And so when something happens, when something sticks out to you in your reading, you want to think, okay, who is trying to reveal this truth to me? Is it the devil that's just kind of distracting me with the truth of God's word? And it's like, well, no, he's not going to do that. He just wants me to read it and put my Bible in a corner and not think about it for the rest of the day. Right? We know that it's the Spirit of God. He's trying to get our attention. This is something you're going to need for today. And so He's guiding us into truth. He definitely knows we're going to need in our life that day. And so that's when we need to stop reading for a few moments. And so you think of it this way. This would be another way of considering it. Think of a prospector that he's out seeking for gold on his claim. And he's kind of doing it systematically. He's laid out a map and he's just going to, okay, I'm going to try here for gold, and if I don't find anything there, I'm going to try here, and then I'm going to try here, and then I'm going to try here. And so he spends each day digging up one section at a time, seeing what he finds. And so if he goes through and he gets to section 3 and he finds gold in section 3, he isn't going to say, okay, well, I'm just going to go to section 4 now and see if there's gold there. No, we understand. What is he going to do? He's going to stay at section 3 and he's going to dig up as much gold as he can find, right? He's not going to keep moving. And that's the thing, is that part of our problem kind of be, especially if we have this whole mindset, well, I need to read my Bible, I need to read so many chapters a day, I need to get through my Bible in a year, I missed a few days, I got to catch up. And what's going to happen is we're going to come across this gold mine and we're like, I'll get back to it later when I have time. And we miss out on what God's trying to show us, right? And we want to understand that it's worth slowing down for, that you can get, you don't need to get on track to read your Bible in a year. Yes, it can be good, but you want to value your time that you have, okay? God doesn't have to use quantity to affect us. He a lot of times just wants to use quality. Sometimes he can use one verse that can just transform our whole day. And so when the Lord shows us something, that's his sign where he says, stop, and then take the second important step in developing your personal relationship with God through the use of his word. And so that's what we're going to look at next chapter, or next lesson, and that'll be the idea of studying our Bible. Okay? So that's the thing, is that we need to read our Bible, we need that information. But we want to realize, as we're seeking to develop a personal relationship with God, as we're reading it, the Holy Spirit is going to point something out to us, and we need to take that first step of walking the Spirit and say, okay, you've got my attention, what are you trying to teach me? And that's when we dive in deeper. All right, so that brings us to the study questions. So how does reading our Bible help us dwell on Christ in our hearts? What part does reading our Bible do in that whole process? It gives us information. But that's what it provides us with. And we need information. But we need to do the right thing with that information. So when we're reading our Bible, the Spirit of God is going to actually prompt us to stop and consider something. So if you're obeying this prompting, what are you actually doing? Well, that's kind of part of it, but it's the idea of, it's like we're taking the first step in walking in the Spirit, right? Because he's trying to prompt us. He's wanting us to pause. He's prompting us, and so we want to listen. And so just the fact that, because it's kind of, you really kind of think of it this way, that so often as we have our day, we have everything we have planned for our day, and we kind of realize, oh yes, I should read my Bible. And so really we're kind of walking according to what we want to do, and not really thinking about what the Spirit's leading is. And so as we read the Bible and he prompts us to pause, then that's our opportunity to get off that track of walking in our own way, walking in the flesh, and instead go on a different track, walking in the Spirit. And so that's what we want to learn to do, is that, okay, he's saying something to me, I need to stop. Alright, so then last one. So it's important to maximize the value of the information the Spirit is trying to give us in our time with God. So as we read our Bible, what four things should we look for so the Lord may use them to speak to us? Does anybody remember those four things? So the four things were principles, truths, stories, and series of events. Okay? So something you see, a principle is like in a proverb, it says something that you say, okay, this could maybe apply. You think of a truth that is given about Christ, about ourselves, a story, an event that happens, and sometimes the details of the story, why things happen the way they do, and what does that speak was. And it's kind of the thing, is a lot of times it can be, sometimes in a verse you see that the wording is maybe not what you would expect, or there's a word that sticks out, or sometimes you actually find that you think you've memorized the verse, but then you actually look at it and you realize you've memorized it wrong. And then you find out that the way it is written isn't the way that we thought it was written, and we ask, okay, this is different. And this would be one example where Isaac, as he was going up the mountain with his father, and he's a bright boy, he's starting to clue in a bit, he says, okay, Dad, I'm just wondering, we've got the wood, and we've got the fire, we've got the knife, but where's the lamb? And Abraham says to him, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so, you almost, the way I looked at it originally, it was like God himself is going to provide a lamb, is what it says, right? And that makes sense, because God was the one that was going to provide a lamb. And of course, Isaac didn't actually know he was the one to start with, and God had a substitute, and we understand kind of all about that. But what Abraham was saying, God will provide himself a lamb. And so it's the idea that God himself would be that lamb. And so we understand that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That just as a ram was provided for the substitute for Isaac, so God provided a lamb, Jesus Christ, as a substitute for all of us. And so it's kind of the thing, is that there's things that you pick up that if you're just reading through it fast, you're going to miss those things. And so take the time, and it might be for your whole Bible time in the morning, you might only get through a verse. And that's okay, because the Lord might have it all packed full of stuff that's just for you for that day, and it'll be just what you need. And we need to learn to just slow down and just listen to the Spirit and let him build in us this relationship he wants to have in us and the guidance he wants to give us for the day. All right, any thoughts or questions as we conclude? No? All right, well, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for what you're seeking to do in our lives, and we ask your forgiveness that a lot of times we're too rushed and busy to really take the time to have you do the work in us that you desire to do through your word. We just pray you'd help us to get into your word, but to be paying attention to you and having the time so that we can stop when you want us to stop and consider the truths that you want to share with us that are life-giving and life-changing. Pray you'd guide us all safely home and bless our week that's ahead of us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.